No, Sheila, what's going on? Sorry about that. Hey there, everybody. You might hear my son's crying in the background, but hopefully that will go away in a minute. If you're on Safari and you want to look at your own computer, I just shared my screen, so you probably won't be able to, but we're right over here, number 7. Okay, so just to review, last time we spent a lot, this is last time was probably our most off of the DAF, what I would call it, off the page type of a class. We won't do that too much, but on occasion, I'll venture off to try and compare some of the ideas of the Ramchal with other thinkers, because as he stated, he views what he's written in this book as not mechudash, not novel. And so it's important to always point out that when he in fact is not necessarily the only perspective, that even though he's claiming to be not mechudash, there are moments when he actually is suggesting different novelties that you could disagree with. So last time we spent a lot of time trying to compare and contrast the perspective of halachic man versus the perspective of Mesilat Yesharim in terms of their overall view of this world versus the next world, where the Mesilat Yesharim certainly puts an emphasis on the entire goal of our existence to be what we can achieve in the world to come. Obviously, we can only do that in this world because this is the world where we have free choice and where we can accumulate whatever we can accumulate, but at the end of the day, it's all for the purpose of the next world. We're going to get that hardcore in today's class. He's really going to get into the details of how that works today, as opposed to Rav Soloveitchik, who is much more about bringing halacha into this world and never really spending much time thinking about the next world. We believe it exists, but for Rav Soloveitchik, it's not a focus, it's not an emphasis, it's not something on the forefront of his mind, it's not something that he taught his students, it's not something he mentioned in Shir. Yes, it's a reality, but it's a passing reality that, right, we leave God to the accounting and we trust God will make sure it all fits and works, but not going to worry about it right now. Today we're going to spend a good amount of time on two basic points. One is one of the Ramchal's major theses. It fits very well with something that my mom always used to tell me. Whenever we had vacation and I had extra time on my hands, my mom would always tell me, Ari, you're more than welcome to waste your time with whatever fun thing you want to do. Video games, whatever it was, card games, board games. I played a lot of games when I was a kid. But as many hours or time that you put into those things, I want you to also put time into some constructive things, some learning, some, right, whatever it was that she fit into that category. And it's not the exact parallel, but what we're going to see is that the Ramchal, we're going to spend some time, argues that our approach to Avodat Hashem, our service of God, needs to be as rigorous as various other areas of our life where we in fact show tremendous amounts of rigor. And he's going to give a couple of different examples, and I'll add a couple more examples that I think the modern mind could wrap their head around also. The other piece that we're going to spend some time on today is really delving into maybe you call them proofs or arguments for Ramchal, why he thinks it's clear that this world is not the important world, and it must be that the next world is where it's all at. So hopefully we'll get up to that in a little bit, but let's jump in. V'hinei, sama kadosh baruch hu l'adam b'makom sh'rabim bo hamerchakim otomi menu yitbarach. God places in a place, right, in a world, where we have many things that are creating or causing us to be distanced from God. These are the physical desires that if you can get drawn after them, right, particularly things that lead to addiction, but even not, right, even much less intrusive desires still can cause you to be distanced from God. And you find yourself in the midst of a great battle. Now, battle is going to be one of the first of these parallels, these metaphors that he uses, right, where to some extent, right, Ki kol inyanei ha'olam bein hatov bein hara, hinei hem nisyonot l'adam. He says, everything in the world, both good and bad, and this is really interesting also, are all part of the test of this world. So, in other words, there is nothing that's great. Nothing is gray. Nothing is pariv. Everything is either kosher, not kosher. Everything is either good or bad, which is really interesting because I think the human experience is very different, right? The human experience, I would say, is that there are certain things that many of us would agree are bad in the world that we live in. They're bad experiences. They draw us away from God. And I think that we could name them and it'd be pretty clear. And there are certain things I think we would say are good that certainly help us connect with God. And then there's a lot of things that are in between. So the Ramchal is saying, if you peel back and you really think through each and every detail of your life, you'll find that everything falls in one of two categories. Things that are helping you connect to God or things that are not helping you connect to God. Which is a very, again, Musser-esque perspective to say everything has this dichotomy of good or bad. I'm sure some things could have a mixture of both, but nothing is neither, it seems, from the perspective of Ramchal. Ha'oni mitzad echad va'osher mitzad echad, right? So on the one hand, right, you could be poor, and that could be a challenge. You could be rich, and that could be a challenge. Kinyan shamar Shlomo melech, as Shlomo says in Mishlei, pen esavea v'chachashti v'amarti mi Hashem, lest I become fat, I become full, and I deny and say, who is this God, right? The idea of kochi ve'otzem yadi, the idea that I think that I have succeeded and I didn't have any help. I didn't need God. I was able to do this myself. The famous, right, the story that I like to tell, I've said it, I maybe even in this class, right, that you're looking for a parking space. God, I really need help. I really need help. Someone pulls out. God, I got it. I found my parking space, right? That idea of, oh, I did it myself, and there's never recognition of God's hand. So that's the challenge of comfort and riches. Upen ivaresh v'ganavti, right? Or on the opposite side, right? Maybe I become poor, right? And, right, if the, I don't know why it cuts off here, but it's ganavti v'safasti shem elokai, right? So, I will, right? I'm hungry, so what happens is I end up stealing. I should have done that earlier, right? I end up stealing in order to try to write the Jean Valjean, right? The Les Mis story, right? So you're put in a hard situation because of poverty, and it leads you to do other things that are, again, morally questionable. Again, his case is not perfect because it was a dire situation. But the point is that when you're poor, right, you might be inclined to do certain immoral things in order to, right, take care of yourself or your family in ways that also are challenges. Right, if you have peace and you're just, everything's hunky-dory, everything's good, you might not feel a need to push yourself. On the flip side, right, if you have too much pain, that could also be debilitating and not allow you to move forward. To the point that you find yourself at war and at battle with this world in front of you and from behind. So in other words, the perspective that Ramchal portrays here, it's a little bit anxiety-inducing, but the idea that he presents here is that we're supposed to view this world and our experience in this world as a complete battle on all fronts. Every single thing in our life has to be looked into. Is this helping me connect to God? Is it not helping me connect to God? If it's not, how do I avoid it? How do I get away from it? How do I lessen it in my life? Everything has to be put under the microscope for us to appreciate this. Now, war, I think today better than ever before, we appreciate how much goes into the military, both in terms of just net resources, right? How much America spends on their military, how many personnel are the Navy, the Army, intelligence, CIA, FBI. I mean, it's unbelievable how many people are involved in the security of this nation on a regular basis. Same is true in Israel, if not more, per capita. So you have this unbelievable amount of energy, resources, detail being put into the safety and security of a nation. And you, if you're working in this field, then you're constantly, right, feeling this pressure of it can come from any direction. So you live with a certain trepidation, a certain amount of anxiety, but also a certain amount of awareness. And that's what the Ramchal is going for. He's going for the awareness to peel back the experiences that we have in our lives and to really analyze, is this part of our life helping us connect to God, or is it hindering that connection to God? Right? I don't want to hear it's parv. I want you to think about it, right? And then come back to me. Which one is it? Fine. And if you in fact are a warrior and you defeat your enemies from all sides, such a person who is victorious and can defeat this battle on from all sides, is he's going to be the one who's going to connect with God. And he'll exit the antechamber, this world, and he'll enter into the main room, right, which is the world to come in the light of life. So it's a pretty intense way of living. It's just, and that's the Ramchal, if nothing else, was very intense. And you can appreciate how he becomes the forerunner for the Musar movement in many ways, because everything, it has to be weighed and figure out exactly how it fits in. We're going to see how he can also be a forerunner for the Hasidic movement pretty soon as well. And as much as you're able to overcome your yetzer, your desires, your inclinations, and to distance yourself from the things that distance you from the good, from God, and you try hard to connect to God, that's eventually going to, right, help you attain some semblance of joy. And if you go further into this, the world, and this is going to be very, very Hasidic, the world was created for the use of man. Amnam, hine hu omed b'shikul gadol. However, everything requires a tremendous amount of you have to weigh everything on a scale, balance everything. Ki im ha'adam nimshach achar ha'olam u'mitrachek beboro. Because if a person engages in the world, and that engagement causes him to be distanced from his creator, hinehu mitkalkel, he is going to himself become ruined, umiskalkel ha'olam ha'imo. And when he becomes ruined, when any of us are not operating at our best situation, we are impacting the world around us as well. V'imhu sholeit ba'atzmo, but if he has control over himself, v'nidbak b'boro, and he connects to the God, to his creator, umishtamesh min ha'olam, and everything that you do in your life is weighted and understood and is used as a way of helping you connect to God. I go to my job so that I can do good in the world, but also so I can make money, so that I can continue to live a Jewish lifestyle and support my family so that they can eat, so that they can live a Jewish lifestyle. If everything you do is with that said intention, and again, it doesn't necessarily mean changing everything you do in your life. It's just that the way that you think about it, the way that everything you do is processed, is through the prism of, I'm doing this to help me connect to God, right? And again, that's a layer to add into our mental reasoning on a regular basis, and that's hard. Sometimes it's easy to forget that when we're so caught up in the grind of life, right? Is a 9-to-5, is it it's not inspiring, it's hard to get through, but if you can appreciate that you go to work so you can support your family, so that you have the disposable income that you can do mitzvot, that you can give tzedakah, that you can do all live a Jewish lifestyle, then all of a sudden you've uplifted, right, an element of your physical life. But everything has to be weighted. Everything has to be, right, analyzed. Is this in fact helping me connect to God or not? And if you are raised up, the world around you is raised up with you. Because honestly, the greatest, right, reality for anything in the world, any person, being, inanimate object, animal, the greatest use, the greatest way to uplift anything is for it to be used in the service of God. If man can take anything and with the notion of kavanah, with intent, direct, right, its usage for the way of getting closer to God, that is the greatest use that any single object can be had. And again, this could be literally just going along your day, right? Some jobs are easier, right? Let's say you're a doctor, right? So it's very easy. Everything that a doctor does is a tremendous mitzvah. You're helping people. The amount of chesed that doctors are doing on a regular basis is unbelievable. And if you're dealing with life and death, all the more so. But even if you're an accountant or, right, someone who doesn't necessarily do something that's amazingly inspiring on the front of it, on the face of it, right? If you work with yashrus, you work with, right, a straight, narrow path, and you, right, help people keep the laws and live their lives to the fullest, that could also, right, if you think about it, you can make that also inspiring and in the service of God. But it takes the work to really think about how each piece of the job does that, A, and B, that it does that, right? You have to make sure that it does that for yourself. And that's what I mean by his forerunner for the Hasidic movement, because the Hasidic movement was very much about uplifting the world by using it for connecting to God. That is a very Hasidic concept. You will find it all over Hasidic works. And the Ramchal here, a couple hundred years before the Hasidic movement really takes off, or 100 plus years before the Hasidic movement takes off, is already introducing some of these ideas. This is what our rabbis teach us. That the light that God hides for the righteous, this is the language in Chagiga. Right, when he hid this light, he was very excited because he knew that the tzaddikim were going to be happy with this light. So the idea here again is that the tzaddikim are using something like light, and all of a sudden it's uplifting the light, right? And this, the next example is easier to understand. Right, Yaakov Avinu, he took all these rocks and he put them under his head. So Amru Chulin Tzadi Beis, it says in the Gemara Chulin, Rashi quotes this midrash as well. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Melamed Shenikbitzu Kulan L'Makom Echad, because the language of the pasuk goes that there were multiple rocks, and then in the morning he takes a rock. So Rabbi Yitzchak says this teaches us that he collected all these to one place. Kol Achas Omeres Alayaniach Tadik Rosho. All the rocks argued; they wanted to be under Yaakov's head, and so God makes a miracle. All the rocks become one rock, so that Yaakov's head is resting on all of them. But the idea here, again, is that when I ate tzaddik, even, right, putting your head in a pillow, right, I'm going to sleep so that tomorrow I can better serve my Creator, right? Yes, we're all going to go to sleep. But if you have the perspective that sleep is a really important element of how we serve God, and if we don't get it, we're not going to have the ability to focus when we daven, when we learn, when we do whatever we do in our day, all of a sudden we've uplifted our sleep. It's not just something that we do at the end of the day because we need to shut off our brains because our bodies are just worn out. It becomes a spiritual act, right? So the idea of sleeping on a rock, right? Sleeping on a pillow, etc., right? All of a sudden is uplifted. V'nei al ikr hazeh heironu zichronam levracha b'midrash kohelet she'amru zeh leshonam. And this idea is clarified in the words of Chazal in Midrash Koheles, this is what they say: Re'e mam aselokim. So after God creates Adam, he takes him through the entirety of Gan Eden, and he says, here, these are the trees of the garden. Take a look. See my actions. How amazing they are. All that I've created, I've created for you. So be careful not to destroy my world. Right? Again, the notion of use everything to connect. But don't use these things to disconnect. And that's unfortunately the sin that Adam does, is that, right, he uses the trees as a way of a minor form of rebellion going against God's command. Klalo shel davar. This is the summary rule. A person is not created for his place in this world. Right? So this world is merely a means. It is not an ends unto itself. It is only for the purpose of, right, helping us get to the next world. And therefore, we have a whole bunch of Mamre Chazal, a whole bunch of different versions where the rabbis speak about this world as a place of hachana, a place of preparation. Al Kain, Timsa Mamre Chachaminu Zichronam Levracha, Rabim Kulam B'Signon Echad. Many of these, right, views of Chazal of the same type, just in different formats. That Medamim Ha'olam Hazel Makom Uzman Hachana, that this world is compared to a place and time of preparation. And the next world is connected or compared to a place of rest, as well as eating that which has already been prepared. This is like what we said earlier, that this world is compared to an antechamber and the next world to the main room. Today, this is from Abu Zara. Today we do it. Today we act. Tomorrow we accept the reward. Right? Every single week, those who prepare during the week to get the food and then prepare it before Shabbat will eat on Shabbat. You can't prepare on Shabbat. You have to prepare before Shabbat. Shabbat is domeh. It's me'ein olam haba. It's compared to the next world. How? You need to prepare beforehand, and you get the reward. You reap the benefits on the day itself. This world is compared to the dry land. Next world is to the sea. That one's a little bit harder to understand exactly what he's going for there. I didn't have the time to really delve into the Kohelet Rabbah, but something to look into at some point in the future. So you can leave that one as a question mark, how that one fits. The Cha'ila Rabim al Derech Zeh. And there are many more versions of this that you can find. Okay. V'tira be'emes shekvar lu yuchal shum bal seichel amin shetachlis brias ha'adam hu matzavo b'olam hazeh. And now, these are the proofs that I mentioned. So before we get into this for 1 minute, I just wanted to talk, right? So we talked earlier about the notion of, right, the complexity of how we approach war, and how perhaps that could be used as a model for thinking about how to approach our spiritual connection, that we're constantly at war with the world around us. The truth is that we live in a world where more and more analytics and AI is being introduced to analyze every single detail of everything, right? For anyone who's a sports fan, and you look into the amount of analytics that goes into baseball stats or football stats, it's unbelievable how many people, time, effort is being put into, right, how quickly a wide receiver can get out of a break, right, on a cut, or how, right, the percentages of baseball players when they hit a ball in a certain part of the field, how often they hit it as a base hit. I mean, it's unbelievable how much time and effort is being put into these games that are being played. And that's not to say that I don't enjoy it and I don't think it's fascinating. I think it is. But for the Ramchal, we look at these things and then we look at kind of the mom and pop hodgepodge way that we approach our own spiritual growth. And he's like, that can't be it, right? You cannot, on the one hand, right, approach business, approach sports, approach war in all these ways, and then look at your own spiritual growth as like, okay, yeah, we'll figure it out as we go. It's all more or less, intuitive. You figure it out. Like playing sports, it's intuitive, right? You hit the ball, you run to first base, run to second base, third base, go home. It's all good. You're finished, right? No, we're going to analyze every single piece of every single detail and try to perfect and get better and figure what's the best way and figure out best practices and all this stuff. So I think that's part of what he's drawing. Now, this second part here, which we'll do for the next like 3 minutes or so, is the what I would call proofs, or the proofs is too strong of a word, but they're arguments that the Ramchal are making for how a thoughtful person would not come to the conclusion that this is the main place for us to be focused. There's someone in the chat. So someone asked, what is Chagiga? Chagiga is a Gemara. It's one of the tractates. It's not a very commonly learned tractate. There's a lot of really strange stories in Chagiga, but it's about the Korban Chagiga, which is brought on holidays. Okay, so moving on a little bit further. A person, a thoughtful person, could not possibly come to the conclusion that this world is the ends onto itself for a person. Because what is life in this world? I find this line to be fascinating. It reminds me of a lot of stand-up comics that you'll listen to. A lot of them will highlight, right, that life is really hard. It's really hard. Maybe my life is a little better, they'll say, but it's still really hard, right? I don't remember if I heard this for sure from Jerry Seinfeld, but I recently watched the Netflix had a Jerry Seinfeld special that came out very recently this week. And I feel like in that special, he literally said this, right? That who's happy? Who's happy? Everything stinks. Everything's terrible, right? We all find ways to complain about everything in life. So says Ramchal, if no one seems to be happy, how could this world be the ends, right? So I'll be honest. It's a really pathetic, sad perspective on the world, right? If none of us can be happy, I really think that you can achieve at least a modicum of happiness over the course of a day, a week, a month, a lifetime, hopefully more often than not. And I think if you have the right perspective, I think it's possible. The Ramchal here is being a little bit of a Debbie Downer, but maybe a little bit of a realist. Really depends, I guess, on your perspective of the world. But he seems to be saying, who really is really happy in this world? Right. So in Tehillim, right, David HaMelech says that many of us will get 70 years. Some of us, right, the strong will get 80 years, but the best of those years are filled with toil and trouble. Right. So who's happy? The Kama Minei Tzar V'Chaloyim Achovos V'Tardos. We live in a world where there's so many different pains, sicknesses, right, things that distract us. Vachar kolzo tamavet, and after it all, we die. Echad mine elef lo yimsashi yirba lo hanaot v'shalva ha'amitit. One in a thousand is going to really find peace and happiness, the true happiness in this world. V'gam hu il yagi lemeya shana kvar avar ubatel mina olam. And if you get too old, you become irrelevant to the world. You basically have disappeared because your body can no longer really keep up. And your mind's no longer there. It doesn't really work. So we're just going to finish this thought, which is another paragraph or so, and then we'll stop. But the second idea of why this world can't possibly be the main idea of the world is that what would be the point of having a soul for this world, right? The soul is so important, so amazing. It doesn't make sense for it to, right, be the focus. Kol shekein shehi eina motza shum nachas ruach bechol inugei zeh haolam. Furthermore, or even more so, because there's no way for the soul to really, really enjoy this world. I saw some people in the chat. I'll get to it in a second. The Midrash Kohelet. This is what they say. Midrash Kohelet. Zul Shonam. Vegam hanefesh lo timalei mashal lamadavar doma leirone shenasabat melech. So what's the soul compared to in Midrash Kohelet? It's compared to a simpleton, a townsperson who marries the daughter of a king, who marries the princess. Im yavila kol mashav olam. Doesn't matter what he brings her, what he buys for her. Einem chashuvim la klum. It's worthless to her. Shehi bas melech kacha nefesh. Right. So she's the daughter of a king, and so is our soul. Our soul comes from the upper realms, and so anything that we have in this world is going to pale in comparison to the experience that it comes from. And so there's really no way of making the princess happy. There's no way to make our soul happy in this world. The ilu havas la koma dea olam. Even if you give it all the pleasures of this world, einam klumla, it's nothing to her. Lamashi hi mina elyonim, because she's because the soul is from the upper realms. The chain amu zichron rabin rabasina zichron levracha al karchach atanot serva al karchach atanolad. You were created against your will. You were born against your will. Ki ein haneshama ohevet halom azeh, because the soul hates this world. Doesn't like this world at all. Ela adarab moeses bo. He's disgusted. The soul is disgusted with this world. Im kain vaday lo hayabori habori yisbarach bria the tachlis shehu neged chuka v'nimes mimana. There's no way that God would have created a soul and put it into this world where it's going to be disgusted on a regular basis with the patheticness of the world. What's the goal? Why would God do that? It must be, says the Ramchal, that it's for the next world. And it must be that that's the focus. So, to summarize, the two points we talked about today. The first is that the Ramchal sees nothing as gray. Everything is black or white. Everything is either helping you connect to God or furthering you away from God. And this requires strict and careful analysis of everything that we're doing to see, right, are we actually in our life trajecting in the proper direction, and what things are helping and what things are hurting. And mixed into that, how important kavanah and perspective can be on helping to introduce kedusha, holiness, into the things that we're already doing. If we have the right vantage point and perspective, then so many of the things that we're already doing because we're human beings can all of a sudden be uplifted because of the perspective that they are helping us connect to God. The second point is that it can't be, and this is one of the major points of this first chapter, it can't be that this world is the main world for two reasons. One, no one's happy. So if no one's happy, right, and I apologize if you are happy, I'm happy for you. I think I'm a pretty happy person most of the time, so I don't necessarily agree in terms of what the Ramchal is saying, but this is his argument. Nobody's happy, so if nobody's happy, it can't be that this world is the main, right, goal. And B, what's the point of the soul? The soul's not going to enjoy this world at all. So if the goal is this world, if this world is an end unto itself, then why would God introduce the neshama into this world? It's such a terrible reality. So we're going to stop my part here. Let's just see what we have in the chat. Don't take life too seriously. You'll never get out of it alive anyway. Nice. Good line. Very true. So the Ramchal would disagree, though. the Ramchal says you should take everything seriously. And that's, to some extent, that difference between, right, the lighthearted way that a comic says the same idea, right, that nobody's happy, right, which is the comic's way of saying you're good enough and don't worry and you're doing fine, versus the Ramchal, nobody's happy, so this world can't be the main piece. They're said in very different ways. It's the same line, but it's said very differently. Their Michal was a very serious dude. He took everything very seriously. And yeah, it's definitely a certain cup of tea that not everybody could live by, but certainly I think that certain elements and certain parts of his perspective, I hope, resonate with all of us in terms of just the importance of giving the time and space into thinking of our spiritual development as much as some of the other things in our life. Okay, we'll stop the recording here and I'll unmute everybody if anybody has